Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Listeners, it's episode 15, and we're excited. Why are we excited, Mike? Because it's radio time.
Absolutely.
Always. Once again, I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus, and my buddy, my co-host, right next to me, my wingman, Mike McShane. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, how about you? I had a great weekend. You know, I did well in my picks for the week, doing well in both my fantasy teams. You know, I've got everything a sports fan could want for, except the home team win. Didn't have that.
Well, I probably won't have that tonight either. So.
Yeah. Well.
And I did horrible my pick. So yeah, it was a pretty terrible weekend for me all around. But it wasn't as bad. Don't worry about it. It's only sports, right? It's not life.
Maybe not yours.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's life. I'm pretty impressed.
I know some people in my life that would argue with you.
Well, I'm one of them. I'm just trying to make myself feel better. I'm trying to get out of my depression, Mike.
I got you.
Come on. I'm tired of being depressed, man.
Listen, tomorrow will be better. The sun will come out.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Well, who knows? But listen, and it's a beautiful day. It's fall. It's nice and cold out, man. I'm walking around with my hoodie on today. I love it. And this is really what's knocking me out of my depression today.
Oh, there you go.
All right. But listen, we have a pretty good show in front of us here. Lots to talk about. But before we do that, I just want to send out a really huge thank you to all of our listeners here at Fan Junkies Radio and, of course, all of our members over at FanJunkies.net. Friday's show with Jamie Jacobson of the Green Bay Chill from the Lingerie Football League was one of our best shows yet. Why, Mike? Because we had over 30,000 listeners.
Holy smokes. Now, you know, I can only assume that all 30,000 are listening again tonight.
I would hope so.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I would be happy with even a nice percentage of that. But, I mean, if there's 30,000 people are going to be listening to this show again, you guys, you know what? You men and women are the best.
30,000. My
30,000.
God.
Hey, listen, man. It had to be Jamie. Like, listen, any athlete from the LFL, come on. That definitely draws in listeners.
Absolutely incredible.
I know it ain't us.
That's amazing. And really, you know, if that was Jamie and company, you know, tremendous thanks.
Absolutely. Listen, you know what? We've been averaging a few thousand listens a show, which is great because we're still a fairly new show, only 15 episodes in. But over 30,000 listens on Friday. That's just amazing. It's something we did not expect, and you know. Seriously, from the bottom of our hearts here at Fan Junkies Radio, thank all of you so much.
Absolutely.
Amazing listeners. The phone calls have been tremendous from everybody.
Absolutely.
Keep it coming because this is what we're here for. We're here for you.
Absolutely. That's exactly right, too. And I think you make a great point there. I mean, listen, you know, you and I both do this because we enjoy doing it, but we're not doing this for the fun of it, of just sitting here talking to each other. We can do that on the phone.
Exactly. Listen, you know what? We have a blast doing this, but what makes it better is all of our tremendous listeners. I mean, it's just been great, you know. And got to say, it's probably one of the fastest growing radio shows, you know, on Blog Talk right now. And, you know, definitely one of the fastest growing that I've ever done. I mean, we've had thousands upon thousands of listeners before, Ranger Nation Radio. And, you know, I've done some FM and AM stuff, too. But, you know, this has just been huge for us here.
Yeah, I would venture bet you're absolutely correct. I mean, at 30,000 listens, it would have to be one of the biggest. And make no mistake, you know, it always makes it more enjoyable when we've got listener participation. And I think that's a good segue. We got to give that phone number out.
Absolutely. The phone number is 347-237-5373. You can call in now or anytime during the show to ask myself or Mike a question, to throw out a comment, or just to tell us we suck and do not know what we are talking about. We're here for everything.
You can't tell us we suck when we're getting 30,000 listeners.
Hey, listen, man. There's some hosts out there that get a hell of a lot more than 30,000 listeners, and they playing out suck.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
I won't throw in any names, Mike Francesa.
No, I won't either. I won't either. There's a couple I listen to on a daily basis.
Exactly. But listen, you know what? We have a long show in front of us, so let's get started. And, Mike, one of the things we're going to start with tonight and talk about is sports fans.
Yeah.
And why are we going to talk about sports fans? Not only because we're a sports radio show, but because of two incidents that happened over the last few days. Incident number one, the Atlanta Braves versus the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, everybody knows by now of the whole infield fly rule that was called that game, which was a bunch of malarkey. We can give the Braves that. But what transpired after that call was playing out disgusting and ridiculous by the Atlanta Braves fans. The Atlanta Braves fans, what did they do? They trashed their own home field. Mm-hmm. Why? Seriously, why? It's your own home field.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Mike, do you have any ideas? Can you even try to explain that to me?
Well, can we try to explain it? I mean, obviously, you know, the Atlanta fans there in that particular case were feeling that this was their best way of displaying their displeasure, except that they forgot that this was probably the first game that most of them attended, because that stadium is always empty.
Yes.
All right, which drives me absolutely nuts to begin with.
Yeah.
So you go to your first game, all season long, and you get a bad call. All right, look, I agree with you, Jonathan, that I think it was a really, really rash call on the part of the officiating crew there. It was a mistake. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But to then, I mean, it wasn't just a couple. It was hundreds of people firing anything that was in their hand down onto the field. The players were running from the field into their dugouts, into their respective dugouts, for fear that they were going to get hit by something.
Well, I mean, you know, there was bottles, there was cans.
Yeah.
Who knows what else? I mean, we've seen, there was crumbled up wrappers, there was bags, which I got to tell you, man, those are some throws, man, to get a plastic bag.
Yeah, well, and this was being done on national television.
It was just ridiculous.
It was an absolute disgrace. It slowed the game down, obviously. There were delays because they had to send the crew down, the field crew out to clean the mess up. What an outrageous display coming from, from an Atlanta fan base that I don't see them supporting many of their teams.
Yeah,
and you know I put a call out, and I would love to hear from an Atlanta fan right now. I really would.
Explain
to me what the purpose of that is.
Yeah,
truly.
Listen, if there's any Atlanta Braves fans, call in now. The number is 347-237-5373. Try to explain to Mike and myself and the rest of our listeners what the hell you guys were thinking, trashing your own home field.
I guess I take this a little bit personally, too, because, you know, here I'm a Philadelphia fan, and we take a rap here. We take a rap here all the freaking time.
Yeah.
From sports analysts, talking heads on all kinds of sports talk shows. You know, I don't care whether it's ESPN. I mean, for God's sake, Adam Schefter was nailing us this morning because of the next story that we're going to talk about in a moment. But Adam Schefter is pointing to Philadelphia fans and saying, oh, well, this is the kind of thing you expect from Philadelphia fans. I'm sick of hearing this kind of nonsense. When you're watching national displays like that and it barely gets a mention, except maybe buried down in paragraph number 8 of some USA Today article.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disgrace.
Well, Mike, would it make you feel better if I told you that's something I expected from Philadelphia fans? Well,
I might expect it from you.
You would expect it from me, not from Adam Schefter, right?
No, that's exactly right.
But listen.
It will change my opinion of you, Jonathan.
Yeah. Listen, I don't care whose team it was and which fan base it was. Could have been the Mets fans. Could care less. Disgusting display. Not only have you embarrassed yourself, but you embarrassed the team that you are a fan of, and you embarrassed the city that you live in. Complete embarrassment.
And again, I go, you know, listen, I could, I might almost be able to forgive them a little bit if I saw them as being a loyal fan base that was there all the time. But so many Braves games I have sat.
Talking about that, they were there all the time when they were making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only time they're there.
Exactly.
You know, so many games I watch, and the stadium, here's this beautiful state, this beautiful ballpark, and it's empty.
And it is a beautiful ballpark. It really is.
Yeah. It leads to other questions. You start to say, well, wait a minute, you know, how far have fan bases gone? You know, how many more times are we going to be hearing four-letter words over national airwaves? It was just a couple of weeks ago, you know, where we had the replacement refs in, and we had to deal with, you know, the repeated F-word being thrown over national television.
Yeah.
You know, how far our fan base is going to go, and how far is it going to be before networks are going to step in and start cutting some of that out or cutting away from it and not showing it, you know, and then that's going to start taking away from games that are being broadcast. So, you know, is it part of our society? Is it part of the way we are now?
Well,
part of sensitization.
Well, that's what's going to lead me to my next question, because as an avid sports fan for so many years now, I mean, it's just one ridiculous thing after another. There's like no in between with sports now. I mean, is it our society or what? I mean, you know, because it's always something ridiculous going, you know, happening no matter which league it is. But years ago, it would be, you know, few and far between. Now it's right. Like one after another.
Well, now it seems to be and rather commonplace.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, I heard one commentator today on one of the radio stations that I listen to indicate that really it's nothing more than a phenomenon created by the sports industries themselves.
Yeah.
You know, why do things happen in the NFL? Well, because the NFL has made football bigger than life.
Yeah.
They've made it part of our life where we are entrenched with it so deeply, our emotions and our passions get into it so much that this is the reaction that we're going to have. The same thing happens in baseball and in all of our other sports as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that, in fact, it's really nothing more than a phenomena of what has been created, not by us, the fans, but more so by those that are controlling the industries.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I want to go that far and say, well, okay, it's all their fault, because I think we as fans have to point a finger at ourselves and take responsibility for our own behavior and our own actions.
Which, you know what? We definitely do. And, what you know, as you were saying that, what I was thinking was that, you know, we've seen fans over the years throw stuff onto the field. We've seen fans even jump out onto the field.
Right.
In whatever sport it is, there's always been some type of, you know, fan interaction gone wrong. When it comes down to fans wishing basically death on a player just to get them out of the game,
yeah,
or to cheer when they get hurt, I mean, that's what it's taken it too far. And that's where we're going to go with our next segment right now is Kansas City Chiefs fans. Matt Cassel gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down. What happens? The Chiefs fans, they applaud it. They applauded Matt Cassel being down on the field, and you could see he was clearly hurt. I mean, you know, he wasn't grabbing his foot or anything like that. He was out. He was dazed. He was
dazed.
Clearly hurt. You could see it right away. Concussion.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So what happens? Kansas City Chiefs tackle Eric Winston ripped into the fans, calling them disgusting, said it was the most embarrassing moment of his football life.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he went on and on and on and on and on. And I got to say, kudos to Eric Winston for saying this, because he was 110% spot on.
Absolutely he was. That was a disgraceful display.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing, let's just say for a moment that, and you know, mercifully, we haven't seen this too often. But let's just say for a moment that was the Kansas City team on the road. And that's the road fan, or that's the home fans of that particular team that were cheering it. All right, you would forgive some of that, all right? But even there, most of the time, what happens is
it's quiet.
Well, yes, and should he successfully get up, or even if he's gurneyed and you're seeing the thumbs up coming from him while he's got the neck brace on and the whole bit, that crowd will give that player an applause.
Yeah.
No, this was a home crowd cheering for the fact that their own player had gone down.
Yeah.
And it was prolonged. It was a prolonged. It wasn't like a cluster of fans over in one particular section. It was a prolonged cheering.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, fans. I want to hear from Kansas City fans.
That would be great.
City fans out there.
You know what? Let's throw out the number again.
Talk to me.
You know. Call in 347-237-5373, whether you're a Chiefs fan, a Braves fan, or any other team, any other fan of a team that has something to say against this, or somebody that agrees with what we were saying. Call in. Let us know.
Because somebody's got to explain to me what goes on in your heads when you're observing this sort of thing.
Now, here's my question, Mike. Do you think that the display that's been going around, are these legit fans that have been around for years and that have backed this team through thick and thin, and it's they're wearing thin? Or do you think these are those fair weather fans which you have all known to come and basically hate over the years? Because I hate to say it, there's more fair weather fans now than there's ever been.
Well, of course there are. You know, in the case of the Atlanta Braves, it's difficult to gauge because, like I said, you know, you look down there and you never see the ballpark full. So, you know, you almost have to refer to them always as fair weather fans. In the case of the KC Chiefs, this I can tell you about that fan base because I have listened into numerous talk radio programs right out of Kansas City. That fan base in Kansas City is very, very loyal, and they're very football loyal. They love their Chiefs.
Absolutely.
And they are frustrated, and I understand them being frustrated.
Yeah.
And they're particularly frustrated this year.
But let me ask you this now, because I believe in karma. Karma's a bitch. Matt Castle's not playing next week. Who's going to be starting for the Kansas City Chiefs? Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
Is that what you people were waiting for? Cheering Matt Castle going down so Brady Quinn can lead your team to what? Another loss?
I can tell you right now, if I'm a fan and those are my two choices, I'm not cheering to bring Brady Quinn in.
You know what? Yeah, let's bring in a player that couldn't even hack it being with the Cleveland Browns. Hate to tell you this, but I could probably start for the Cleveland Browns and throw a touchdown.
And let me take this back to a previous point, and I don't want to constantly make it sound like, oh, look at us poor Philadelphia fans. Oh, aren't we so maligned? But the fact of the matter is, despite all of the bashing that we Philadelphia fans take.
Yeah.
I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care who the center on the Philadelphia Flyers is. I don't care who the pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies are. The fact of the matter is we would never, ever sit and cheer seeing one of our own players go out. That would not happen in Philadelphia.
Oh, I don't know.
Listen, Santa Claus didn't play on our team.
Listen, Santa Claus plays for everybody's team. I don't want to hear it.
And so therefore, he's easy.
No, Santa Claus plays for everybody. He is a worldwide athlete.
That he is. Look at what he does in one night.
Exactly. Come on, man. I mean, you know, that's just pure athleticism right there.
You're not kidding.
But listen, I mean, who knows now? Because there's so many people sitting in the stands, and no matter what league it is, half of them aren't even fans because probably they got the tickets from their company. And the other half are sitting there on their PDAs and their smartphones and whatnot. But we have a caller from the 484 area code. 484 area code, how you doing?
Hi. I just want to say that I agree with Mike on this whole thing. And I'm really glad that he brought up the Philadelphia fans. Because I'm a young fan, and I've been hearing for years about Philadelphia fans throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. And I didn't do that, but I still have to hear about it. And I just think that it's really good that he brought them up, because you know, something with this Atlanta thing, if that had been in Philadelphia, we would have been eviscerated. It would have been up and down the news across the nation, and it still is. You know, the Santa Claus thing is just one example of how we've been torn apart. And I just wanted to say thanks, Mike, for bringing us up and, you know, really keeping us going, because those Braves fans are just obnoxious.
Ooh, pot shots at Atlanta.
Well, you know, now we're waiting for the Atlanta fans to call in. See, you know, that's what we need. We need those Atlanta fans to call in and defend themselves.
Yeah, I don't think Atlanta fans are calling in.
Oh, because
they're
not.
They have to pay attention.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, they don't even attend games, let alone talk radio.
Listen, I guarantee you 75% of the people that were at that Braves Cardinals game, they got tickets from their job.
They're in hiding right now. That's where they are.
Hey, tonight, and they just, you know what, they probably had no idea what the hell was even going on. They don't even remember being there.
Okay, now you're real. Now you're taking
hot
a real
shots coming from the Mets fan, baby.
Atlanta fans, call in.
Colin, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. That's, you know, always good to get calls, but what's going on with this Philadelphia stuff, man? Come on. We need some other fans calling
in. Oh,
now.
Listen to you. No, wait a minute. We've heard from your New Yorkers.
Hey, listen. We didn't throw snowballs at Santa Claus, so.
See, now you're going to start. That's not right.
Listen.
You and Adam Schefter, I put right in the same boat
listen,
together.
If this is Philadelphia, you would have kicked the crutch out from little Timmy's arm, back to the floor. It's Philadelphia. Come on. All right, listen. Let's move it on. It's, you know what?
You're not right.
We basically come to the conclusion that sports fans today, you know, there are some real good, legit ones, some people that still have knowledge of the sports, but then there are other ones that are fair-weather fans. Me being a Jets fan, I know that all too much because probably a big chunk of the Jets fan base is fair-weather. So, you know, it sucks, unfortunately, but there's still some good ones out there. And, you know, I feel bad for the Braves fans that were sitting in the stands that just had to sit there and watch what happened.
I agree with you. Thank you. I don't want to paint with a broad brush. I hate doing that.
Yeah.
But
when something like that happens, it's, you know, the negativity is going to outweigh the positivity. So
right. Absolutely. And you know, it's unfortunate. It's put a stain in my mind and in my view on that fan base.
Yeah.
And not that needed any help. Trust me.
All right, Mike. Well, before we get to our next segment, just want to give everybody a little bit of a live update here out in St. Louis. The Cardinals are actually in the Nationals 7-3. End of the fifth, we just had two solo shots from Ryan Zimmerman and Adam LaRoche. Jordan Zimmerman looking terrible. Garcia got pulled really quickly, and Lynn's been in, so see what happens. But it looks like the Cardinals are powering up, man, to move on, huh?
Go Cards, go Cards. There you go, sidekick, I got you covered.
You know, can't go for, I mean, either one don't matter to me. Screw them both. So.
Yeah, it's baseball to you.
It's baseball to me.
Uh-huh.
And again, you know what, Beltran, you know, go Cards. So, all right, listen. We're going to switch over to football. And, so something happened during the St. Louis Rams game that, you know, people are like, wow, that sucks. Danny Amendola got injured again. You know, it definitely is bad for the St. Louis Rams because, you know, Bradford and Amendola have some good chemistry together. But what we learned later from Drake Glazer on Fox's pregame show was that Amendola not only dislocated his clavicle, but it actually popped in, and it was a life-threatening injury because it popped in towards his trachea and his aorta.
Yeah.
And they basically had to put him to sleep to pop it back out.
Right.
But at the same time, pushing in where the clavicle is so it didn't pop out the other way.
Right.
So, first off, you know, best wishes to Danny Amendola. Heal up. You know, you're a great football player. We all like you here at Fan Junkies and Fan Junkies Radio. And we know, you know, Sidekick is somewhere crying in the corner because Amendola's hurt. But it's terrible. But at the same time, it leads us back to that same debate that's been going on for a couple of years now is, God forbid something happened and an NFL player passed away either on the field, on his way to the locker room, or in the locker room. How would this affect the National Football League, its players, and its fans?
Yeah.
Now, Mike, you and I talked about this a little bit before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically tell our listeners what you would think if something like that were to transpire. Would the NFL be just, you know, ripped apart? Or, you know, could it actually get through it?
Well, this goes back to a comment that I brought up to you that was made by our good buddy Jeff to me this afternoon on a Facebook page.
Yeah.
In fact, it was on the Frat House Facebook page when I posted up the story about Danny Amendola. And in fact, the Amendola situation, I don't know if you actually mentioned it or not here. This was a potentially life-threatening situation none of us were aware of as viewers when we were watching it. We saw him go down. We saw him taken off. Actually, later on in the game, he was on the sideline in a sling. He was on the sideline later on during that game. And nobody had any clue whatsoever how serious the situation was, but apparently he could have died right there on the field.
Yeah.
And Jeff had brought up the comment this afternoon on our Facebook page that, in fact, Carson Palmer, a couple of years ago during an SI article, had indicated that he felt that it was a matter of time before, in fact, we might very well see somebody killed right on the field in football.
Yeah.
That being how seriously violent the game can be.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of close calls already in the past.
I'm going to tell you right now. It could positively not be the worst. I mean, it would be, without a doubt, the worst thing that could possibly ever happen.
Yeah.
I believe that if that were ever to occur on television in front of viewers, millions of viewers watching a game, you would be watching the end of football as we know it. It would be done.
Yeah.
It would be gone forever. Yeah. I mean, we're already facing issues right now with concussions and all of the talk about protective gear and what's the long-term effect.
And if all of that is leading to suicidal people.
Exactly.
And whatnot.
Can you imagine if on a Sunday afternoon you're watching, a very competitive game and we all get our juices going and what have you, and we're all sitting around watching it for hours on end, and the next thing you know, you're watching somebody get hit in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong spot, and they don't ever move again.
Yeah.
That would end the game as we know it. The game would be gone.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to step in on that.
I tell you, it's, let's hope that never happens because...
I would agree.
You know, there's been a lot of close calls in professional sports, whether it be football, hockey, and even baseball. But,
not forget, I mean, motorsports.
Well, exactly, too. But, there have been people that passed away in motorsports, but...
Yes.
Then again, you know what? You have to take that and then put it up against these other, sports and say, well, that's a hell of a lot more dangerous because, hey, you know what? You're doing, a buck 30, a buck 40 around a track, and you hit a concrete wall. Things are going to happen,
Well, right, but see, I think that's where the difference lies in.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that
big
I think
difference.
That in motorsports, it's almost expected.
Exactly.
There might be a fatality. Oh, but in football, for God's sake, there could never, ever, ever be a fatality. And if there were, can I tell you right now, if there were, within 4 days, you're going to have some congressman or some representative in Washington standing up, putting forth a proposal to make this sport outlawed.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Now, you and I both have our opinions on whether those guys have any right to be involved in sports or not.
No.
All right, which they shouldn't. All right, get back to your real job. But you know for a fact that that's what would happen.
Oh, it absolutely would happen.
But it won't happen in motorsports.
No.
Okay.
No, it won't. Like we said, that's where the difference lies. It's expected there. But let me ask you this question now. With all the stuff that has been going on in football, and I'm talking about the concussions, every time a football player dies, if it was related to being in the NFL – is an NFL player's life already cut short, which we've heard many, many times, over even as recently as yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to eventually be expected?
Expected that what?
Is a death in pro sports going to eventually be expected? I mean, because I hate to say it, but it's like the dominoes are falling and that's the last domino still standing. And I hate to say it because... we already had players paralyzed, players' careers ended because of injuries, on the spot. I mean, what else could basically go wrong next for the NFL?
When we've heard of deaths in the past that have occurred, frequently it's been as a result of a personal issue. In other words, there may have been a condition that a player had that went unnoticed or was unaware. I'm thinking of what's his name from back in the 80s, the basketball player who died on the court. The name is escaping me at the moment.
Oh, what the heck is his name?
Yeah. It begins with a B.
Yeah, you know what? I can't remember that. How bad is that?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it was a situation there where, you know, there was a condition. There was a pre-existing condition. And you know, when it went unnoticed, undetected.
Oh, yeah, Len Bias. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Because,
Len,
you know, I was thinking about Reggie Lewis, but he died during an offseason.
No, Len Bias is the one.
Yeah, Len
exactly.
Bias.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, and there are probably many others that I'm not thinking of right off the top of my head at the moment. However, I the first time that somebody gets beamed in the head by a baseball at the plate and drops over dead because of a severe trauma to the brain or something to that effect, the first time that we see something occur in football, there's going to be a mass outcry. Do I think it's inevitable? You know, in many respects, can I be honest?
Yeah.
It's amazing it hasn't occurred yet.
Yeah.
I mean, when you consider the age of baseball, maybe somebody will call in and say, hey, Mike, what the heck are you talking about? Don't you remember this time? Maybe it already has. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm not recalling anything.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me ask you this. In regards to Len Bias, I mean, you know, drugs were a factor in his death.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of takes away from something actually happened on a basketball court because, let's say, two players ran together.
Right.
Their heads collided. One guy got knocked dead or, you know, broke his neck and, you know what I mean, and, you know, paralyzed and something happened after that. So.
Well, and that's my point is that when we see – when we finally, if it were ever to occur that we were to witness, we as fans witness a situation where as a result of legalistic play of a sport, one party expires, then there's going to be an issue. There's going to be a problem with that sport. You got to know it. There's going to be a problem.
Let me say this. Now, Rangers prospect Alexei Sharapanov, he passed away in the KHL during a game.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, 19 years old, right? If that happened in the NHL, and the NHL has already had people watching out after that because of their rough play, and then, you know, you also have, episodes that happened with Clint Malarchuk and Richard Zenick where their throats got slashed by skates and whatnot. If that happened in the NHL, do you think it would have went the route of being shut down? Like the NFL will and most likely would if somebody died on the field on Sunday?
I got to be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your opinion?
Like you said,
I'm not sure.
Sharapanov had a heart problem, but it was the KHL. Doctors weren't around. You could blame the KHL for that. You know, it didn't happen on the ice, but I'm just saying that if that happened, at an NHL game, knowing, you know, arenas in the U.S. are fully equipped with all this great equipment, the trainers are great, whatnot, you would definitely have to look at it if that happened at an NFL game.
It's tough to say. I don't know. I mean, the problem is if there were ever to be a witnessable death as a result of a game, and I don't care what the game is, like I said, I don't care whether it's Major League Baseball or NBA or something. If it occurs as a result of play.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no other influences involved.
Yeah.
You're going to have a whole lot of who shot Johns going on.
Yeah.
You're going to have people pointing fingers at all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the initial response. And then after that, then that's when there's going to be a whole lot of crap to play. And I was just reminded by my buddy Brendan that the actual name of the person I was looking for was Hank Gathers.
Ah, Hank Gathers. There you go. Okay, now I know who you're talking about. Okay, you said B, so right away I went to Len.
Yeah, right. I was confusing the two of them, Hank Gathers and Len Bias.
Yeah, I actually forgot about him.
Hank was the one back in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Hank Gathers passed away in 90.
Oh, so, okay.
So just outside the 80s, but that was a, I believe it was a college basketball game, wasn't it?
I believe it was, yes. I think it was college, right.
I think he was playing for Loyola Marymount.
Okay.
If it happens, out of all of them, you have to say hockey's probably had, some of the biggest close calls because, hockey's just as dangerous with, against football, but it'd have to be more because, hey, these guys are, skating around with these really sharp blades, and we've seen a lot of people sliced by these skates. Clint Malarchuk and Richard Zegnik are two examples where, their aortas were almost sliced completely in half.
Right. And
thank God, because same thing with Danny Amendola and the St. Louis Rams. Thank God for these amazing trainers that are so quick-thinking and they act so quick that they have saved many, many, many people's lives now.
Yeah.
Over the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah. So, we can only, as a caring fan base, we can only hope, caring, unlike our friends in Kansas City, as a caring fan base, we can only hope that we never see, that sort of thing occur.
No, exactly.
Do I think it's an inevitability? I don't want to think. I don't want to think that could ever happen in any of them.
Yeah.
But I believe, in football. I believe in football. Yeah. If we ever were to see it, I think it would be the end. I think specifically in football, I think it would be the end of football as we know it.
Which would be a damn shame, not only because football and but because somebody would have to pass away for that to even happen. So
yeah.
Like you said, let's hope to God we never see anything like that happen.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, well, let's go up to depressing topics here, Mike. Let's move it over to last night's Green Bay, Indianapolis. And, we spoke about it here a couple of times already. The Packers, they're not the Packers from last season.
No.
It showed yesterday with the Colts moving to 2-2 in the season. Andrew Luck, 31 for 55, 362 yards with two touchdowns. Reggie Wayne. No matter how good Andrew Luck was yesterday, you have to give this win to Reggie Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. 212 yards with a touchdown, which I guess was the game-winning touchdown, wasn't it?
Let's see. Yeah, yes, it was. You're right.
From Andrew Luck. Now, we know Aaron Rodgers hasn't been the same since last year. We've said that already. Let me ask you this. Greg Jennings being out yesterday, was this a big part of the Packers' loss, or are they just done?
Well, it may have been. It may have been.
And also JerMichael Finley being injured, too.
Finley, I think, less so. Let's back this up a moment. Let's take a look at this game, okay? Because here's the thing that I heard a lot coming out of yesterday. Hey, Green Bay fans out there, Indianapolis fans, go ahead, call in, because, I'd love to hear what your perspective is, particularly from Green Bay fans.
Yeah.
But let's just back it up for a moment, and you say, well, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been quite the quarterback that we've seen. Well, wait a minute, let's take a look at his numbers. 21 of 33, 243 yards, he had 7.4 average on passing.
Yeah.
Three TDs, one interception. Yes, he was sacked five times. He had 103.5 QB rating.
But not only that, five rushes for 57 yards.
That's not – okay, well, all right. Now you're getting to the point that I want to get to.
Ah.
Okay? Those are not bad QB numbers, okay? And while we've all sat back and said that, he hasn't been the Aaron Rodgers that he has been – well, when you match those QB numbers up against Aaron Lux or Andrew Lux, there's no comparison. Okay, Aaron Rodgers had the game. When you look up and down the stat sheet, you think to yourself, okay, wait a minute, what was the difference in this game? All right, the difference in this game was this: this was a ball possession game. This was a time of possession game. This should have been at the end a running game, and it wasn't. When Aaron Rodgers is your leading rusher, okay, on that team, you got a problem. And he was. He was leading rusher with 57 yards. That's a problem.
Well,
that's
now
why Green Bay lost this game.
Can you count Cedric Benson getting hurt? Or was his 7 carries of 20 yards just not enough? I mean, you know, if he kept rushing the ball.
Well, if that was going to be their game plan to keep doing that, yeah. But you got to have something. You got to, you know, you got to do better than what you got to be able to account for the fact that Cedric Benson might get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and what was their option?
Well, Alex Green, but 9 carries, 55 yards. His largest carry today was 41 yards. So with those extra 8 carries, he did absolutely jack.
Well, yeah, I see that. You're right. You're right.
So without Alex, you know, without Cedric Benson, that was a big, you know, bullet to their rushing game yesterday.
And the problem was that in the end of the game, this became a ball control and possession game, and the Green Bay Packers weren't able to do that. Why?
You got to give a lot of credit to Donald Brown yesterday for holding on to the ball.
Because you didn't have a ground game.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And that's where the Green Bay Packers, in my opinion, are not a three-dimensional team, and that's why I don't think that they're the same team that they have been.
Well, not even that.
Not to mention that I think that their offensive line is not very good.
And that's where I was going to get to that point. What the hell is going on with their offensive line? They let up another 5 sacks yesterday, but this time to a not-so-good defensive team.
Exactly.
I mean, so, don't get me wrong. Dwight Freedy came back yesterday. He showed how much that the Colts missed him. You know, they still have some really good players up front, but still, you know.
I think that the Green Bay Packers, I'm not prepared to call them a fraud team, but I think, you know, anybody that thinks that they're the same team that they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. Cut me a break, because this team is not the same team. And as I sat watching particularly the end of the game yesterday, I sat here and I said, listen, this is exactly why so many people seem to think that this team is good. I'm telling you right now, they're not as good as they used to be.
No, absolutely. And you know what? We've said that many times on previous shows, but it's still early in the year.
Yes.
There's a lot of football left. And if, you know, having a lot of time proves anything, just look at the Giants from last season. You know, you can get hot again. They do have a good team. Greg Jennings is going to come back. JaMychal Finley is going to come back. Cedric Benson will come back. Aaron Rodgers will be better. That we all know. So who knows? But right now, they're not playing like defending Super Bowl champions. Well, excuse me, they're not defending, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know. I knew what you meant. Previously defending.
You know, but only 2 years out, so.
But, see, I guess maybe part of what I wanted to just address by going into this game a little bit was I saw so many accolades today, and I saw so many articles today on different blog sites and what have you. Oh, look at what Andrew Luck did. Look at there. He beat Aaron Rodgers. See, we told you.
He beat the Green Bay Packers defense, man. I hate when people
do that.
Andrew Luck was not the reason.
Andrew Luck was not the reason that the Colts won that game.
Aaron Rodgers threw freaking 3 touchdowns.
Exactly.
It was not bad yesterday. Not at all.
The question I would have really is more this. Did the Colts win the game or did Green Bay lose it? And I say Green Bay lost it. And that, I think, is the difference this year with the Green Bay Packers, is that they're losing games that they would have won before.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. This is definitely a game that the Green Bay should have won. And if this was the Green Bay from their Super Bowl year or even last year, they would have won this game.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike. Let's stay with football here for a second before we go on. We have a little bit over 15 minutes left in the show.
Yep.
So to our listeners, if you want to call in, 347-237-5373, give us a call. Let us know what's going on. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Jets and Texans. Do we see Tebow tonight?
Yep.
We do see Tebow.
You're saying it, yeah.
Okay. Do you see Tebow having any type of spark you know, adding any type of spark to the Jets tonight and doing anything good? Or is it just going to be, hey, what the hell? We might be thrown in the towel soon. Let's just see what Tebow does for us.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question because you're the Jets guy here.
Yeah.
All right. Now, are you saying that you believe that we're going to see Tebow, or has this actually been announced that we're going to see Tebow in a much greater role tonight than we have up to this?
Oh, I mean, it's being announced that, you know, throughout Twitter land and whatnot from, you know, beat writers from the Jets, you know, they were working out Tebow in a lot of different packages that they haven't been before. So, I mean, basically that goes down to saying, yes, Tebow's going to be in tonight.
Okay.
And Tebow's most likely going to actually throw the ball tonight.
Okay. Now, I want to say it was around week five, and I think that's where we are right about now, right? We're at week five.
Yes.
I think it was around week five last year that Denver threw in the towel and they said, okay, let's give Tebow a shot.
Yeah.
I want to say it was around week five.
Yes.
And man alive, all of a sudden that guy, and look, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big Tebow fan. All of a sudden, that guy was the talk of Denver and the talk of the NHL. Do I think that putting Tebow in tonight in this particular game could have an effect? There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
He will have an effect.
Yeah. Now, is it going to be enough of an effect for them to actually do something tonight, or?
It'll be enough of an effect. It may be enough of an effect that if you're a betting person, go out and put your money right now on the Jets, because that's now a 9-point line. It moved from 8 last Wednesday when we made the picks to being 9 tonight. So put your money on the Jets. But no, I don't think the Jets win. You're not going to beat Houston.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. Tebow does a decent job tonight. The Jets actually have a running game because the Texans cannot stop the run up the middle. That's what Sean Green does best. If Sean Green rushes for 100 yards tonight, Tebow does something. And, you know, you got Aaron Berry now with the Jets. Antonio Cromartie is going to be out there. Matt Chubb hasn't showed anything good. If the Jets can stop Arian Foster, because Ben Tate will not be playing tonight, mm-hmm. which is a big loss for them, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they could stop Arian Foster, I mean, you have to believe that the Jets might actually have a chance here.
Do you think that the Jets can stop Arian Foster?
Do I think? No.
In your heart of hearts? In your heart of hearts, really?
No. But have I been surprised by many teams doing things I never thought they could do? Yes. So, you know, I mean, there's always a hope and a glimmer that, hey, you never know. It's a Monday night football game. Jets always like to step it up on primetime games, so.
Okay, so I'll go to your comment and say, listen, yeah, I understand that the Houston defense perhaps maybe isn't as good as other defenses against the run. Do I think that the Houston defense can shut down the Jets' run? Yes, I do.
Well, I honestly think a Pee Wee football team can stop the Jets' run.
All right, well, then there you go.
Right.
Then you've answered your own question.
There's something that the Jets haven't faced now, and that's a team that can't stop the run up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Who do the Jets have? A guy that does nothing but run up the middle and can't do anything else. So you would have to hope that that's going to be something good for the Jets tonight.
Well, okay. All right. Well,
I'm not saying the Jets are going to win. I'm just throwing out some intangibles that other people aren't thinking about because, hey, it's a defense that the Jets can actually finally run the ball on. They can't run against anybody else, you know?
Well,
and what have we always talked about? Jets quarterbacks can't do a thing because their running game is terrible. So if they could get some runs off quickly, you would hope that would open the field up a little bit for Sanchez and Tebow.
Well, and if Tebow's going to be a part of it, then look for him to be running the ball.
Oh, which absolutely. I mean, you know.
I mean, if there's going to be anything to your running game there, it's going to be Tebow running it. I think that, you know, if Twitter world it right now is talking, we're thinking of putting Tebow into the mix of things. It might be in that respect that the Jets are considering it.
And
God knows he can't throw the ball.
Oh, and listen, Revis Holmes out for season, and it still looks like they're going to be without Stephen Hill, Dustin Keller, and Sione Puwa tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So. Five big starters. I still say the Jets are going to lose tonight, unfortunately, but what do you
think? Yeah, I would think I kind of think they're going
to. But just, you know, throwing out some intangibles there because Well, you know, a lot of fair weather Jets fans out there that don't have the knowledge and don't think about things
well,
like.
Well, let's hope at least it's an interesting game. Let's hope it's not over by halftime.
It's not going to be a 45-0 blowout. You know what everybody's saying, because I have confidence the Jets can stop the Texans' passing game, but I have no confidence that they could stop the running game. Now, without Ben Tate being in, everything's going to be on Arian Foster, and as you've seen, that they have been using Ben Tate a lot since last season.
Yes.
You know, it could be something, you know, worth looking at. So, I don't know. But anyway, another update, 8-4 Cardinals. Ryan Zimmerman just hit a sack fly right before that. Former Met Carlos Beltran with a 414-foot home run.
All right, 8-4, you're saying. So, it sounds like...
But it's right now.
8-4, so it sounds like the Nats are coming back a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. I'm not entirely sure who's pitching, but anyway, let's push it over to the NHL. News coming out today that the NHL and the National Hockey League Players Association are going to sit down Wednesday and Thursday to talk again.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Johnson of the Globe and Mail says that they won't be talking economics, which is the big focus of the CBA talks. But they will be talking about health and safety, medical care, drug testing, rent and mortgage reimbursements, and grievances. Now, Mike, we spoke about this. You know where I lie. Why are they sitting around doing absolutely nothing? And why even get together if you're not going to talk economics?
Well, I don't understand why they're making a big to-do about the fact that they're getting together for 2 days this week after there were allegedly, quote-unquote, secret meetings over the weekend in Toronto, you know, and this is what the lead up in the article is, or articles that I'm reading today. Oh, there were secret meetings in Toronto, and that's what led to the fact that the NHL and NHLPA are going to get together on Wednesday and Thursday. You know, the last I heard, the NHL said, we will start to talk seriously when the NHLPA puts forth their next proposal. The NHLPA hasn't done that.
Yeah.
And with all due respect, Jonathan, I don't see the NHLPA making any effort to put one forth.
Well, Donald Fair, the executive director of the NHLPA, came out and said that he believes a deal can be reached even if the parties aren't discussing the fundamental issue standing between them.
Let me get out my decoder ring to figure out what the hell that means.
Thank you, because that's all it is. You know?
I mean, seriously, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
Listen, we would have to listen to Little Orphan Annie on the radio, get out our Ovaltine decoder ring and, basically break this down, because that's all they're speaking in. They're speaking in code.
And if that's the case, well, then what's been the holdup all this time? Because everything we've heard from Bettman's mouth has been, this is an economic issue. This is all about profit sharing. This is all about, you know, how much the players get versus how much the owners get and percentages and all this other nonsense. And Donald Fair is going to come out now? See, you know, you got to wonder how much of this is really being orchestrated by the NHLPA. And with all due respect, I'm actually starting to turn on them a little bit.
I don't agree with both of them. I'm sorry. I'm done with the NHL and the NHLPA. I think they both suck.
Well, and I made my point last week. When I see so many players, you know, just running for cover to European teams and AHL teams, and, oh, listen, we just want our paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know something? I got to question your accountability to the whole process. I mean, frankly, I'm getting a bit perturbed with the player's side of it now.
Yeah. Which we have spoken about already, and, you know, as I said, I don't agree with the NHL or the NHLPA. I think they're both morons. And then we have news today that even more NHL players are signing overseas. I think Joe Pavelski from the Sharks, I believe, signed with somebody else today. Yeah, he did. He actually signed with Dynamo Minsk of the KHL.
Yeah,
that's another guy.
You know, and I'm getting I get emails sent to me, you know, from the Phantoms, who are the affiliate of the Flyers, saying, "Oh, the Phantoms team's looking pretty good." Well, I guess so if you've got a whole load of players from the NHL. I mean, cut me a break, will you?
Thank you.
I mean, you know, I'm getting perturbed now with both sides of the whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look.
Well, they're not doing nothing.
No. They're not doing anything. No, they're not doing a darn thing.
No.
They're putting out blue smoke and mirrors press releases saying we're going to get together, but we're not going to talk about anything of substance.
All right. So, you know, we've spoken so many times about this, Mike. Let's leave it at this. Do you see the NHL starting by October 25th?
You know, I'm one of these guys. I guess maybe I'm not as desperately depressed. I guess perhaps maybe, or as I don't want to say you're negative, but
it. You know, it's you know, fans are down. I mean, you know, that's the thing. You know,
when I read the article today, I actually for a moment thought, oh, okay, wait a minute. Maybe if they get together and they spend two full days on Wednesday and Thursday this week, maybe just maybe they'll be able to salvage out an 82-game season.
Yeah.
And so I'm remaining cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way. I'm remaining cautiously optimistic. I'm going to give them one last, I guess, chance to get me into their corner. Either side. I don't care whose. I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic and say, all right, if we can see something positive come out of this week's negotiations, I'll buy back in.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the question that you're asking me right now would be better saved for Friday.
Yeah.
And then I'll answer it at that point. Do I see a full season being able to be played?
No, because they already canceled 2 weeks of the season. So.
Well, no, but they're actually saying though that they could get 82 games in if they do solve it by this week.
They would have to
run an accelerated schedule, and they're
and that's only going to lead to what? Probably injuries.
Injuries, of course.
Problems,
yes.
And then you're going to hear about this in the next round of negotiations in a couple of years. It's the NHL. It's crap right now. I mean.
Well, I don't know.
You know what? I don't agree with both, but I do agree that they should all lock themselves in a room and get this done by next week. If they don't, I don't see anything good happening.
Like I said, I'm remaining cautiously optimistic. We'll see how it goes.
Listen, when you hear stuff like this, it's hard to stay optimistic. Because they're not talking about anything. Once again, they're going to sit around, look at each other, exchange smiles and handshakes, and then leave.
Well, like I said, we'll pop a few bags of popcorn and watch a movie. Maybe they'll sit and watch Slapshot.
Maybe. And they need to put the foil on, duke it out.
You got it.
All right, man. Well, we have a little over 2 minutes left in the show. Just want to give a Beat the Shark update. We have one more game tonight, but mostly everybody's picked the Texans. So, I mean, the standard.
You see the picture our friend sent over to Jeff today?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's who actually I'm going to mention now.
There you go.
Talk standings. Angel Chiller of the Green Bay Chill. She moved into first place with Stevie Schnorr and Sarah Brady, both of the BC Angels of LFL Canada, dropping Jeff out of first place into a second place tie with Heather Fur of the Chicago Bliss. Kim and Brianna, both from the Chicago Bliss, in a third tie. Jimmy Jacobson in fourth. Roxy Rowe in fifth. So, great stuff going on, Beat the Shark. Another great pitcher from Angel today. They're really giving it to him. So I want to tell people, get over to Fan Junkies at www.fanjunkies.net. Sign up, check out Beat the Shark. It's been a great NFL pick'em contest between the Shark, Jeff Parini, and the lovely ladies of the Lingerie Football League. Get on it. And as always, head over to where? Frat House Sports, where you can read all the great stuff by Mike McShane, Sidekick, and you can even watch their great 5 minutes at the Frat House videos.
Yep.
Once again, that's www.frathousesports.net. And Mike, it's been a great show.
It has.
We'll be back Wednesday.
You got
same
it.
Hour, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Once again, we want to thank all of our amazing listeners. Over 30,000 on Friday. Amazing stuff.
It was.
It really was. But anyway, everybody, have a great night, and we'll see you all Wednesday.
You got it. We'll see you then.